Well, this morning I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Well, most of you know that I grew up in Yosemite National Park. My dad was a seasonal ranger naturalist, and as a child, I lived in Yosemite National Park for 14 summers. All I can say is somebody had to do it. But when you're hired as a ranger naturalist, the government provides you with housing as you stay in the national park. Of course, they don't say how nice the housing will be. It was rather rustic. It consisted of a box, kind of, with a wood floor and wood sides and screening, and then a canvas top. And there were two of these placed back to back to each other with a hole cut in between. So basically, we had two rooms. My sister and I slept in the back room. Our front room was the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen. And, of course, the Park Service provided the latest technology of a wood-burning stove to cook your food. Well, quarters were cramped, so my dad decided that he would place my mom and dad's bed outside on the north side of these accommodations so they would sleep out under the stars. Well, that's not a real big problem. It doesn't rain that often during the summer in Yosemite. And so it worked out nicely, although my mom kept saying, "I hear footsteps around our bed at night." And every time she would hear it, she would nudge my dad and say, Mark, there's somebody walking around our bed." And he would just simply say, "Muriel, it's a deer. Go back to sleep." This went on for a couple months, until my mom talked to a ranger friend of ours who asked her a question. "Did you know that Mark has placed your bed in the bear trail?" Now she knew. And yet that bed stayed there. I guess my mom had a great deal of courage. However, I will say the next year they bought a trailer and that became their bedroom. The stories that I remember about Yosemite still define my life today. They still have a great impact on me. What is your defining story? What is the story that shapes your view of the world? It's a story that gives you purpose, that gives you your place. It defines how you deal with suffering and adversity. It tells you how you will deal with the loss of a loved one due to death. For Christians, Easter is that defining story. There are many stories in my life that define me, but the greatest story that defines me, in fact, is the story of the resurrection. It is a story that tells me who I am and who I can become. We've remembered all through the Lenten season about all that Jesus went through. We remembered on Friday how Jesus was beaten and tortured. And then finally, he was crucified. You know that Jesus knew what it was like to suffer? Which reminds us that when we go through suffering, God is with us. When we face health issues or tragedy, God doesn't abandon us, but God is near, which gives us comfort. The resurrection story also defines that God's love is an overwhelming love. God is saying, I would give my life for you. I can't imagine a greater love than that. I mean, Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours, and then he died. And as far as anybody knew, on Friday and Saturday, it was over. It was done. Oh, sure, Jesus was martyred for his beliefs, but the disciples knew that that was the end. It meant that evil had won. Hate and hurt and sin had triumphed. And frankly, it had ended badly. So the disciples hid. They hid from the authorities. They didn't want to be arrested and maybe crucified like Jesus. Their faith was in tatters, and they were hopeless. But that was Friday. And on Sunday, some women went to the tomb, and they found that the stone had been rolled away, and they were shocked. They were shocked because they thought somebody stolen the body. They're told that Jesus has risen, but they really don't believe until they see him. And then they go and they tell the disciples. And the disciples don't believe them. Can you imagine men not believing women? So the men still hide in the room, fearful to be arrested. And behind that locked door appears Jesus, who says, peace be with you. And in that moment, the disciples get it and they believe. They understand at that moment that hate and evil and death do not have the final word. That life has conquered death, that hope has conquered despair, that love has conquered hate. And things are different. I think of a mother who was driving her 3-year-old to Easter morning services. Mom was telling her 3-year-old daughter in the back seat all the whole story about the resurrection. And she said, you know, when we get to church today, Jesus, we celebrate the fact that Jesus is coming back to life. And the 3-year-old responded, will he be in church today? Well, in a way, yes. In the resurrection story, we find hope. We find that Jesus is here. And if we're facing a hopeless situation, it is the resurrection that tells us that there are new possibilities. What appears to be dead might actually be alive. God can resurrect our relationships. God can resurrect our finances. God can resurrect our lives. God can help us get rid of all addictions. Our lives might be pieced together again. And there's hope. Great hope. Jerry Jones is a pastor, and he told about a Christian couple in his church whose son who had died on a Good Friday. They had the memorial service for their son on Easter afternoon. And the father stood up during the memorial service and shared with family and friends the following words about how Easter now for him had a new importance. He said, until you stare death eye to eye, Easter is just a word. It's a nice day with bunny rabbits and eggs. But when someone so precious dies, Easter becomes everything. an anchor in a fierce storm, a rock on which to stand, a hope that rises you above despair and keeps you going. A defining part of Easter is that we have eternal life in the face of death. Jesus has conquered death. And for our loved ones, that is not the end. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, he said, "My peace be with you." It is through the resurrection that you and I find peace. We're given another chance. Pastor John Ortberg, in a sermon, shared about how in May of 2009, he and his wife Nancy traveled down to Azusa, California, to the Azusa Pacific University, where one of their daughters was graduating. Nancy, as a result, had been asked to speak at the commencement service, so the two of them, before graduation, were invited to this gathering of about 50 people. 50 people that had graduated and now were alumni from 50 years ago. And there were also some faculty there. As this group met, the president of the university brought out three students who would be graduating and introduced them and said, "These three students have decided that over the next 2 years they're going to go to India and they're going to work among the poorest of the poor. They've given themselves in this service." Now, the three students that came that day thought that they were going to be consecrated, thought they were going to be blessed, and yes, they were. But they were surprised by what the president of the university said next. He said, "One of the people in our university found out about what these three people are going to do and has given a gift to the university in their name and on their behalf." And then the president turned to the first student and said, "You have been forgiven your debt of $105,000. And then the university president turned to the next student and said, "You have been forgiven your debt of $70,000. And then the president turned to the third student and said, "You have been forgiven your debt of $130,000. Those students were in tears. They couldn't believe that such a tremendous gift would be given on their behalf. They were ambushed by grace. The whole room was deeply moved by that gift. In the resurrection story, we're reminded of a greater gift than that, of God's amazing grace. We remember with the resurrection story how Jesus gave Peter another chance. Peter, who denied him. And Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." And the three times that Peter had denied him were washed away forever. And Thomas, who doubted like some of us doubted, Jesus welcomes back into the fold. And all the disciples at one point had fled, but now Jesus is giving them all a second chance as he welcomes them back as his disciples. And then he sends them forth with a great commission. "Go into the world and teach what I have taught you. Make disciples. Be my witnesses in what I have done for your life." Our task is to embody the love of God to other people. It is our mission. And when we do it, we feel alive. You see, we're given a mission. We're called forth for a purpose. To embody God's love. So with a resurrection story defining our lives, we set forth to follow Jesus. Now, frankly, some of us may do this effectively, and some of us may not be so effective. Some of us may be well prepared, and some of us may be ill prepared. Some of us may have poor results. Some of us may have great results. But that really doesn't matter. What matters is that we set out to follow Christ. Bob Goff had a dream. He wanted to sail his sailboat across the Pacific Ocean all the way to Hawaii. So he entered what is called the Trans-Pac Race. And he gathered up four of his buddies who would sail from Los Angeles to Oahu. Now, they weren't highly trained yachtsmen. They went out and bought their supplies, some canned beans, and some bottled water, and they loaded up their 35-foot sailing boat. But Bob said the most moving part of their journey was crossing the finish line. You see, in the Trans-Pac race, there is a tradition that whenever a boat arrives, that an announcer will introduce the boat and each crew members by name, and it's been the same announcer who's been announcing every boat in all the Trans-Pac races for decades. And it doesn't matter if you arrive at 2 a.m. or at 4 p.m., he's going to announce you. Well, just when they came to the end of their supplies, they arrived at the finish line at Diamond Head and sailed into the marina, and it was a couple hours before dawn. Suddenly, there was an announcement over a loudspeaker system announcing every single name of the crew, like they were arriving heads of state. Even the boat name was announced. The announcer read the names of the ragtag crew. And frankly, it was a very emotional moment for everybody on that boat. And when it came time to read Bob's name, the announcer didn't talk about the fact that Bob didn't have very good navigational skills, that he had sailed a zigzag course across the Pacific, that he didn't know which way was north, and that he had a lot of other mess-ups. Instead, he welcomed Bob just like a proud father would welcome his son home. And when he was done, the announcer paused and in a very sincere voice said, "Friends, it's been a long trip. Welcome home." Because of the way he said it, all of the crew fought back tears. As Bob wiped his eyes, he reflected in that moment about the uncertainty that went with that journey and all the sloppy sailing and how little he knew. But none of that mattered because they had completed the race. I think heaven might be the same. After we cross that finish line, I imagine that God our Father will announce our names one by one and be proud of us. Oh yes, we will have made some mid-course corrections. We might even have sailed a zigzag course. We will have made our mistakes. We will have gotten lost along the way. But God will say, "It's been a long journey. Welcome home." So on your life journey, what is your defining story? I hope and pray it is the story of the resurrection. He is risen. Let us pray. Oh God, we give thanks for your grace and your love and your mercy that speaks so powerfully through the resurrection story. We pray that that story will define us in all ways. And we pray, Lord, that we will always remember your love and your care for us as your disciples, and we seek to follow you. Amen.